What is the end result? If you were to carry out what you are thinking about or what you are wanting to do, what will it result in? It will result in sin. That's a no-brainer. Well, who causes that to happen? God's not testing you. Satan is tempting you because he wants you to fall into sin. He wants you to be condemned. He wants to break you down. Now, folks, listen to this. According to the book of James and other verses in the scripture, God cannot tempt you. Now, the reason why God cannot tempt you is because God is holy and righteous. So it's not a matter of if or not God would tempt me. The fact of the matter is God is incapable of tempting me because God is holy. So I'm going to ask myself almost a silly question. Is it possible that a righteous and a holy God would bring something to bear on my life or put me through something that is going to cause me to sin if I adopt it or if I give way to it or if I accept it? Would God, a holy and a righteous God? We sang about him, holy, 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 just a moment ago. Would a God who is holy and righteous cause something to come upon my life, a circumstance to come upon my life that is going to result in me falling into sin? Absolutely not. God's incapable of doing that. The Encouraging
Word. Oh, you've just gotten a taste of Dr. Don Wilton. There's more to come in this broadcast of The Encouraging Word featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. This message on the tested dead is going to take us back into the book of James and give us some tools about how we all face temptation, but how we can be conquerors even in that test. Know this, we're available for you. We're praying together right now, both keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org and this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Jot it down, store it in your cell. We would love to pray with and for you. Now, today's message, The Test to Dead with Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm going to invite you to fasten your seatbelts this morning. God has got something to say to us, and I want you to know that God will speak to you today. I'm very humbled that he would allow me to share with you these things. This is the word of the Lord. These are not my words. And I have prayed already today that I would be out of the way so that the Lord Jesus Christ would get all the praise and glory. Would you open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. And then you can just simply put your Bible on your lap or you can hold it there because I want to share some things with you before we get into this incredible account of Abraham. I want to say to you that there are four things that are guaranteed in the Bible. Number one, all believers will be tested. Now, you're going to hear this word test. I think we're all familiar with the word test. But I'm going to show you today, and I believe with all my heart, that if you've given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've confessed your sin to him, you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus Christ has come into your heart and life, I want to guarantee you something that I cannot guarantee, but I believe God will guarantee, and that is that you will be tested. Now, some people were tested yesterday. Some people are tested today, and some people will be tested tomorrow. And then there are some people who are going to say, well, Pastor, if you don't mind me telling you, every day I get tested. The bottom line is this, that God will test you. This is not an option. This is not something that happens. If God so desires that he'll do it maybe in your lifetime, God does that. There's not a single account in Scripture that I can study or that I know of any person in Scripture that has not gone through not one but numerous tests. And so I want to let you know today that you will be tested. And some of you know what I'm talking about because as I speak this morning, you're going through a test. You know who you are. You might say to me, well, Pastor, who's going through a test? I don't know. I know what tests I go through, and it's a personal thing. Sometimes we have the privilege of sharing together with one another and with family and with friends and with our pastors and counselors and one and another. We can certainly talk about these things, and that would provide the basis or the means by which we would know about somebody else's test. But I do know that there are people who are going through tests. Some of you today, you're worshiping the Lord and you're watching me and you're saying, if only He knew. Well, I want to tell you that even though I may not know, God knows. Because God's the one who's testing you. Now, that brings me to my second point. Number two, testing is never temptation. Now, friend, I want you to write this one on your heart today. Number one, that all believers will be tested. Number two, that testing is never, not under any circumstances, at any time, temptation. Now, you might say to me, well, how do I know the difference? Very important to understand the difference. If you want to know the difference between testing and tempting, you have to look at the final product. What will be the result of you doing or succumbing or giving way or accepting the situation in which you find yourself? What is it going to do for you? Testing will always result, always. There's not an exception here. I'm giving you absolutes. Testing will always result in the strengthening of your faith. It'll make you a stronger person spiritually. It'll contribute to your well-being. It'll please God. And the strengthener of all faith is God Himself. So God is the author, the initiator. He is the one who brings testing to bear upon all those who love Him. So here I am, I'm being confronted with something. I'm going through something. I'm enduring something. I'm having to make a choice about something. And I know that it's difficult. But when I stop and I think about it, even in the midst of my pain or whatever it is, and I think about it, what would be the result that would take place if I acquiesced, if I gave in, if I did what it is that is confronting me, what would be the result? If that result is going to strengthen my walk with the Lord, if it is going to result in the fact that I have brought pleasure to the heart of God, it means my faith is being strengthened, and the strengthener of my faith is always God. Now, let's talk about temptation. If you look at the end result of temptation, the end result of all temptation without exception is sin. If you succumb, you acquiesce, you accept, you adopt this thing that is confronting you right now and you don't know what it is, if you adopt that and you know it's going to result in sin, the author of all sin is Satan himself. That's not being tested. Now, there are some that are just no-brainers. For example, if you are thinking lustful thoughts towards someone of the opposite sex, and you are finding yourself at the workplace and there you are, and you're married or you're single, it doesn't matter. Because God's given us His blueprint. God's told us that those things, these physical things, have been given to us to enjoy within the context of marriage. All right? So we know that. So if you're single or you're married, and there is somebody there who is not your spouse, or it's just another person, if you're single, and you are contemplating whether or not to make a move on that person sexually, What is the end result? If you were to carry out what you are thinking about or what you are wanting to do, what will it result in? It will result in sin. That's a no-brainer. Well, who causes that to happen? God's not testing you. Satan is tempting you because he wants you to fall into sin. He wants you to be condemned. He wants to break you down. Now, folks, listen to this. According to the book of James and other verses in the scripture, God cannot tempt you. Now, the reason why God cannot tempt you is because God is holy and righteous. So it's not a matter of if or not God would tempt me. The fact of the matter is God is incapable of tempting me because God is holy. So I'm going to ask myself almost a silly question. Is it possible that a righteous and a holy God would bring something to bear on my life or put me through something that is going to cause me to sin if I adopt it or if I give way to it or if I accept it? Would God, a holy and a righteous God? We sang about him, holy, 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 just a moment ago. Would a God who is holy and righteous cause something to come upon my life, a circumstance to come upon my life that is going to result in me falling into sin? Absolutely not. God's incapable of doing that.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back in just a moment with all of the message on the tested dead from Dr. Don Wilton. But, you know, halfway through the message, sometimes God stirs your heart to say, I'm not all in. And you know better than anyone else what it is that might be your holdout. If it's like one illustration about giving God all the rooms of our heart. Is it that closet in that back room? Here's the good news. You do not need to clean that closet out. You do not need to wait to get all in with Jesus. Jesus is ready to take care of the cleaning. He just needs you to give him the key. You just need to say, yes, Lord, I want to be 100%. Let us pray with you right now. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. I pray you would jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. You'll connect with one of us who would love to talk with you, pray with you, connect you with resources if that'll help. But most of all, we'd love to pray you through this change from no longer 95%. But to be all in for Jesus. Again, you can meet with us online at theencouragingword.org. Our website's a wonderful way to connect, or on the phone at 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Don't blame God if you fall into sin. What happened if you fell into sin is you gave way to the devil. So here are two points now that are very important. Number one, that all believers will be tested. Number two, that testing is never temptation. Number three, this is great, testing is a privilege. Now, I love this one. Testing is a privilege. Look, if God is the one who tests, and the result of my testing is going to make me a better person, is going to bring pleasure to the heart of God, bring it on. It changes my whole attitude, doesn't it? Because we're going to discover something in just a moment. We're going to discover that testing is not just simply a walk in the park. Some people say, well, you know, it's God. Therefore, if God's going to test me, man, it's going to be a walk in the park because God's never going to make me do anything difficult. Wait until you meet Abraham. A test that comes from God surely is not going to stretch me. Just wait until you meet Abraham. But it's a privilege. Can you imagine the inestimable privilege of God caring about me so much that he would put me through tests in life to make me the man that he wants me to be? And number four, the more tested, the stronger the faith. There it is, principle number four. The more tested, the more I'm tested, the stronger my faith. It's like young people who play on a ball team and they get mad with the coach because he puts them through the paces. Our coach, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to run those sprints. I don't want to do those suicides. I don't want to do those press-ups. I don't want to push those weights. I just want to go and play ball. Well, the truth is, the better condition you are, the better you're going to play, the greater joy you're going to have. Well, if I'm going to be tested, and the more I'm tested, the stronger I'm going to be able to be in my faith. Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege that you give to me to be tested. I want to speak to you this morning about the tested dead. We're going to look at the life of one man, Abraham. Abraham was a remarkable person. Last week I called him a super man of faith. Today we're going to look at the tested dead. I'm going to read from chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land, lived like a stranger in a foreign country. By faith, Abraham lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. By faith, Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made a promise. And so from this one man, as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Now all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And so it is that by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. For he who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, Abraham, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Now Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. I want to talk just briefly this morning about the six marks of Abraham's testing. Now, friend, the Lord will speak to your heart today. What characterized this remarkable series of events in the life of this super believer, this superman of faith? Why is he numbered among the tested dead? The first mark of Abraham's testing is that it required absolute obedience. Now, verse 8 tells us that. If you want to read the narrative account in the book of Genesis, you'd go back, for example, to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. That's my life passage, my own personal life passage. By the way, I hope you've got a life passage. Doesn't mean to say that's the only verse in the Bible, but that has always been my life passage, Genesis 12, verse 1 through 4. Obedience. That was the hallmark. That was the ultimate test. The mark of Abraham's testing required absolute obedience. In Genesis chapter 12 and here in Hebrews chapter 11, the Lord said to Abram, I want you to get up. I want you to leave your father's house, your country, your friends, and I want you to go to a land that I will show you. And then you get down to verse 4, which is where the water hits the wheel. That's the tough part. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Now, folks, if you were to say to me today, Pastor, what is the absolute golden rule of God's testing us? I'm going to tell you, it's the test of obedience. Unequivocal, unapologetic obedience. You might say to me, well, Pastor, what is the significance of that? That's the hallmark of Christian discipleship. Jesus put it in this context. He said, if anyone will follow after me, He must deny what? Who? Himself. Take up his cross and follow after me. Now hold on a minute. Because what Jesus went through was the most horrid, bloody, awful, beating, merciless death that anybody could possibly go through. That was Jesus' ultimate test. It was the test of obedience. It was Jesus saying, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And the obedience of Jesus Christ was tested even to his death upon the cross. And the Lord Jesus looked into the heart and soul of one Don Wilton, and he said to me, Don Wilton, you want to talk about faith? You want to be a man of faith? You want to be blessed of me? I want to tell you, Don Wilton, you have got to deny yourself. You have to take up that cross. You've got to be willing to march down that R-rated highway in which the blood is going to flow and the people are going to scream with such lust for your life. You've got to be willing to lay your life down. That's the test of obedience. That's what it is. When God came to Abraham, he was not playing games. When God came to Abraham, he said to him, Abraham, I want you to get up. I want you to pack up, and I want you to get out, and I'm going to send you to a place that you cannot even conceive. You don't even have a map that'll show you what it looks like. You don't even have a tourist official that's going to tell you which condo to stay in when you get to the Mediterranean. You've got no concept. Just do it. That's the test of obedience. That's what it means. And friend, if you've ever wondered as a Christian whether or not God tests you, God tests us all when he saves us. Because you cannot be saved unless you're willing to deny yourself and turn 100% to Jesus Christ. Number two, second mark of Abraham's testing. It presented difficult challenges. Wow. Verse 9. Bible tells us about some of these things. I tell you, the challenges. I've heard some people say, well, I tell you, you become a Christian and life is just going to be a walk in the park. Well, God certainly blesses us. But God calls us to serve him, to be on the front line of obedience, to stand up and be counted. I want to say to our beloved students who worship with us today, our young people that I admire so much, I'm going to say to you young people on that campus, at that school, whether you're at Burns or at Dorman or whether you're at the day school or Spartanburg or wherever it is, whether you go to Clemson or Carolina, it doesn't matter where you are. It takes guts and it takes somebody to stand up for Jesus Christ. Do you want me to tell you why? It is simple, because it is implicit in the mark of obedience to Jesus Christ, that the test of my faith is going to present me with unbelievable challenges.
What happens when we cross those boundaries? Oh, we'll tell you more tomorrow on the next edition of The Encouraging Word. But right now, as we were praying earlier about being all in for Jesus, to move from that 95% to 100%, know that we're ready to pray with you and for you. Again, Dr. Don has a closing thought in just a minute, so he'll be right here. But I pray you'll jot this number down and know that as the Lord stirs you, let's connect. Let's be a part of your support system. Let us encourage you personally to pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. And if you'd rather do it keyboard to keyboard, we're good with that. Online at theencouragingword.org. Here are these closing thoughts from Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that he died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin. And I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ. And don't leave whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.
You know, every single time I get up and have the privilege of being able to share God's word with you, I pray for you. And I ask God to allow me to see you through my spiritual heart, because I know how much God loves you. I just want you to know that it means a great deal to me that you would write to me, that you would allow us to partner together. Your life is important. It's important, first of all, to the Lord Jesus, every step of every day. But it's also important to me because I'm part of your family. We are part of the family of God. So God bless you, my friend, and thank you for letting me pray for you.
Again, if God has spoken to you, don't just let it sit there, but instead let it take root. Let us pray you through the next step of growing closer to Christ. We're here at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or online at theencouragingword.org. Before we get away, I want you to hear about this Promises of the Praying for Others, this wonderful resource from Dr. Don.
Revolutionize your prayer life in 2019 with Pastor Don Wilton. In his powerful, uplifting, and faith-building message, The Promises of Praying for Others, you will come to understand the wonderful gift of prayer in your life and learn to delight in the privilege of approaching God's throne on behalf of others. The Promises of Praying for Others can be yours on CD or DVD to enjoy and share with family members and friends for your gift of any amount to The Encouraging Word this month. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304. Or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD. Or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support. Your generosity will be a tremendous blessing to the Encouraging Word Ministry as we continue full speed ahead in 2019, bringing hope and changing lives through God's encouraging word.
I hope you'll join us tomorrow for the second part of this message, The Tested Dead, with Dr. Don Wilton. And between now and then, let's stay connected online at theencouragingword.org.